Reading from Isaiah chapter 9. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from Romans chapter 11. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. O the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from Matthew chapter 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rocks. And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. When Jesus finished saying these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For our midweek Advent services this year, we will be taking a look at the names that are given to Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9 is traditionally one of the readings for Christmas Eve. And so as we look at these names, well, titles, really, we will be preparing for Christmas as we meditate upon our Savior and all that he has done for us. First of all, we need to remember that titles are given to people for a reason. Titles describe the person. They describe something about people. It might be something about their appearance or their work or an office that they hold. Titles tell us something about the person. Like, for example, the man in black. Who's that? Johnny Cash. That's a title given to Johnny Cash, right? Why? Because he wore black. He even wrote a song about it. Why he wears black? For those who are less fortunate. Or another one. The refrigerator, as a title given to the Bears football player, William Perry. Why? Because of his massive size, of course. And sometimes when he would line up at fullback, it was like, when he was coming through, it was like tackling a fridge. It was very much like Emmanuel, a title given to Jesus, which means God with us. Emmanuel, a title given to our promised Savior about 800 years before his birth, a child that Isaiah prophesied would be born of a virgin in Isaiah 7:14. And then, our text tonight, just two chapters later in Isaiah 9, the prophet Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives us even more detail about this coming child. And how does he give us more detail about this child? By giving us more titles about who this child will be. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of... So tonight, we will focus on one of those titles, the first of those titles given in Isaiah 9:6, Wonderful Counselor. Now, a counselor is someone who gives counsel, right? Someone who gives, you might say, advice. But not just any advice, wisdom. A counselor gives wisdom, or they're supposed to, anyway. Wonderful words of wisdom. So why should people be calling this promised child Wonderful Counselor? Well, of course, Jesus is the sole fulfillment of this prophecy. And we remember Jesus throughout the Gospels, how people were amazed and astonished at the wonderful words of wisdom that Jesus preached and proclaimed in his teaching, in his preaching, in the piercing questions that he would ask people that just cut right to their heart, and in the parables that he spoke, where he gave profound heavenly truths in ways that people could comprehend them and understand. People recognized when Jesus spoke, his words were full of wonderful wisdom, wonderful counsel. Even though they might not have known or realized or recognized him as Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh, they knew that his words were of God. An example, Luke chapter 2, very early on, an example, when Jesus is just 12 years old, he's at the city, he's found sitting at the Jerusalem temple, and he's speaking to the teacher. And when Jesus spoke, it says this, "All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answer." Wonderful words of wisdom. And then years later, preaching on the Sermon of the Mount, or the Sermon of the Mount, which was our third reading for tonight from Matthew 7, when Jesus is finished saying these things, the crowd was astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority, not like their scribe. People are amazed and astonished at Jesus' words, his wonderful words of wisdom, because he taught as if he were God himself, as if he really truly is Emmanuel, God in the flesh with us. Well, we know Jesus' words are wonderful words of wisdom, wonderful counsel. His teaching is rock solid wisdom. He is able, with his words, to make us wise unto salvation and to holy living. As Jesus says in our third reading, our gospel reading, Matthew 7, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them," faith and love, does them, "will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. When the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew, like it does tonight, and beat down on that house, but it did not fall. It did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Dear saints, we desperately need our wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ. We need his solid rock foundation. We need his wisdom, his wonderful counsel, his word. Because in this life, we still carry around our old, sinful, foolish flesh. And there's a constant temptation to give in to foolishness, to ignore Jesus' words of wisdom, his counsel, and listen to the foolish wisdom of our own heart, of the world, and the devil. And yes, we are all guilty of turning away from God's wonderful counsel when we fail to read, mark, inwardly digest, and to delight in his wonderful word. When pastors fail to teach the full counsel of God, including the parts that are offensive to our wayward culture and their views of sexual immorality and the murder of the unborn and their warped view of justice. When we fail to live according to God's wise commandments. When we fail to uphold family and see our family as a blessing in which they truly are. When husbands, as God's given head of the family, fail to love their wives as he has called them to, as Christ himself loves the church, laying down their life for her. And when, in turn, wives fail to submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. When fathers fail to bring their children up in the fear and admonition and instruction of the Lord. And when children disobey their parents and other authorities. When we put our trust in princes rather than trust in God, as if a prince of this world can fix or save us from all of these problems. And when we become self-righteous and we fail to admit our many failings and sins, where we have all fallen short of these things. And when we hear God's wonderful words of counsel, but we doubt them, or we question that they really are all that wonderful, and perhaps we know better. We're guilty when we abandon God's counsel in favor of lies. Scripture teaches that unless the Holy Spirit gives us a new heart of faith that rejoices and delights in that word of God, each one of us would still be believing lies. We would see God's wonderful counsel as foolishness. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "A man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them." We need our wonderful counselor. We need him to come to us. We need him to speak to us. His wonderful counsel, his wonderful words of wisdom. In particular, we sinners need the counsel, the word of God, that Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, would later write in chapter 53, once again fulfilled solely in Jesus Christ. He says, "Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering of sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, his wisdom, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquity. Therefore, I give him a portion among the great. He will be divided. He will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." The message of the cross, of that suffering servant in Isaiah 53, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we call Jesus our wonderful counselor, because his words are rock solid, and they are the foundation of our lives, here, now, and for eternity. Jesus' wonderful counsel says to us, he loves us so much, he loves us enough to be conceived and born of the Virgin Mary, where his little hands and his little feet developed and grew within his mother's womb, so that one day he would grow large enough to be nailed to the cross for you, as he suffered and died for all of your sins. Jesus' wonderful counsel says to us that he has conquered death and the devil by his resurrection for you, that you can face death knowing that you have hope, certain hope, in the resurrection of the body and eternal life in God's love. Through his wonderful words of wisdom proclaimed into your ears, the Lord does come. We need our wonderful counselor, and he comes to us. And he turns us away from all of those lies of our own flesh, of Satan, and of the world. And he creates a new heart that is within us, a heart that trusts the gospel of Christ crucified for sinners like you and me. By grace through faith in Jesus, God's word comes and it cleanses us. It cleanses our minds, and we turn away from the foolish counsel of the world the devil and our sinful flesh. And it replaces that with wonderful counsel, his word, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we genuinely then do desire to receive the full counsel of God, all of it, with joy, and we lead holy lives according to it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts has done this. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to call Jesus our wonderful counselor. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to receive his wonderful words of wisdom, and thanks be to God, rejoice in them. As we prepare our hearts and minds for Christmas, we are reminded tonight of the titles, the names that were given to Jesus, and they were given for a reason. The baby boy conceived in the Virgin Mary, in Mary's womb, was given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He is called the Christ because he is the one chosen. That's what the word means, chosen or anointed. He is the one chosen by the Father who will carry out his plan for man's salvation by taking the punishment and rising again. The promised Christ child was given the name Emmanuel because he is God in the flesh. He is God with us. And he's also called Wonderful Counselor because his teaching, his word, his counsel has created faith in our hearts, and it makes us wise unto salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. May our Wonderful Counselor continue to bless us as we hear, as we read, as we study, as we rejoice, and we believe in his wonderful words of counsel. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.